morning I'm reading from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5, verses 21 to 43. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered around him, and he was by the sea. Then one of the leaders of the synagogue, named Jairus, came, and when he saw him, fell at his feet and begged him repeatedly, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." So he went with him, and a large crowd followed him and pressed in on him. Now there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. She had endured much under many physicians and had spent all that she had. And she was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. For she said, "If I but touch his clothes, I will be made well." Immediately her hemorrhaging stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Immediately aware that power had gone forth from him, Jesus turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing in on you. How can you say who touched me?" He looked all around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, fell down before him and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." While he was speaking, some people came from the leader's house to say, "Your daughter's dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the leader of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." He allowed no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the house of the leader of the synagogue, he saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. When he had entered, he said to them, "Why do you make such a commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. Then he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, get up." And immediately the girl got up and began to walk about. She was 12 years of age. At this, they were overcome with amazement. He strictly ordered them that no one should know this and told them to give her something to eat. Here ends the reading of our Lord. Thanks. Thank you. Good morning. So you will remember from last week that I am spending the summer reading the commentaries of R.C. Sproul, a Reformed theologian and the founder of the Legionnaire Ministries. Reverend Sproul makes a point of saying in the preface to the Gospel of the Mark commentary that Mark emphasizes Christ's divinity. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Our text from last week showed Jesus had power over nature with the calming of the storm. The verses located between last week's and this week's verses are Jesus had power over demons. And today we see in Mark 5, verses 21 to 43, that Jesus has power over disease and even death. So Jesus is once again by the sea, having just crossed back over the Sea of Galilee, and he is surrounded by a large crowd again. People are hoping to gain something from Jesus. Enter Jairus, a ruler of the synagogue. Sproul says that Jairus was a layman, not a rabbi. He says that the synagogue rulers were in charge of taking care of the building and ordering all of the services that took place within it. He was a man with authority and importance, yet he fell at the feet of Jesus. His case The illness of his daughter was hopeless. She was at the end of hospice care. But even in her hopeless situation, Jairus had faith that Jesus could heal her if he just laid his hands on her. So Jesus, the disciples, and the crowd all start to move forward toward the home of Jairus. But sneaking up behind Jesus through the crowd is this nameless woman. She has become an outcast, similar to a leper. She was unclean because of her bleeding condition. And because she was unclean, she couldn't be part of the worshiping community. Because she was unclean, she could not be included in any social interactions. And because she had spent all of her money seeking cures and paying doctors, she was destitute. Just being out in the crowd around Jesus was in direct disobedience to the Old Testament ritual laws. She should have been without hope. Yet she had a small glimmer of hope in Jesus. Verses 27 and 28 say she heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, for she said, "If I but touch his clothes, I will be made well." Like Jairus, the woman had faith, even though she was breaking laws to do it, that the touch of Jesus would heal her. How amazing. She immediately felt within her body that she was healed. And Jesus also felt the healing power leave him. Sproul speaks here about the divinity of Jesus, the emphasis of the Gospel of Mark. Jesus was truly man and truly God. His divine nature stayed divine. His human nature stayed human. Sproul says that Jesus was not omniscient. He felt the compelling power go out of him to heal the woman, but he did not know who touched him in the crowd. And his disciples, they're such a great group of people. They still don't fully understand who Jesus was. They just couldn't understand why he would take the time from this urgent mission that they were on to ask such a ludicrous question. How can you ask such a question when you see the people pushing it around you? The woman, she knew she had to step forward. She was fearful, but she was also so grateful. I can just imagine her, the words just spilling from her mouth as she falls on her face in front of Jesus. Gratitude, explanations, apologies, all just coming out at once. And Jesus was not concerned about the cleanliness laws. He wasn't concerned about anything but her. She was his priority at that moment in time. Jesus called her daughter. He brought her back into the fold of Israel. And he told her that her faith had made her well. Her faith was the means to her healing through Jesus. Then Jesus sent her off in peace. Sproul believes this was more than just a goodbye, but was more of a go now, not in fear, not in trembling, not in misery, but in peace, and be healed. So back to our story of Jairus and his daughter. Oh, it's too late. She's dead. All hope is lost. Sproul asked the question, why should I trouble God anymore? Why should I bother praying? But we should never stop troubling God. I told a patient that yesterday. She's laying in the bed, pretty sure she's gonna die. And she says, why should I bother God? Why shouldn't you bother God? That's what he's there for. Why do you believe that God wouldn't want to hear from you? The Old Testament prophet Isaiah says, always put your hope in God. So Jesus says to Jairus, do not be afraid. Only believe. Trust me, Jairus. Do not listen to them. So the commotion at the house are the professional mourners. It's actually law that they had to hire people to come and make a commotion when somebody died. So these people, they knew death. They have seen dead people. They were present doing their job, bringing about a commotion, and their mourning, their wailing, quickly turned to ridicule when Jesus told them the child was not dead. So Jesus clears the house, except for the parents and his three disciples, and goes to the girl. He took the child by the hand and said, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." Just like last week when Jesus calmed the storm with his voice, he commanded her to rise. And she got up to everyone's amazement. Sprout writes that a resurrection was beyond their belief, beyond their faith, beyond their hopes. Healing, okay, that we understand. She's dead, all hope was lost. Sproul says that the power over disease, the power over death, the power over lost causes, all of these converged in the touch of Jesus. This is the Lord in whom we place our trust for all things, for all time. What an amazing gospel reading where Jesus' power over disease and death are illustrated. The hope and faith that both the nameless woman and Jairus had, so wonderful. Viktor Frankl was a Holocaust survivor and a psychiatrist, and he wrote the book, The Meaning of Life, after his time in the concentration camps. He found in his time in the camps that those who had hope were more likely to survive the camps than those who had no hope. I see it in patients who come to the hospital. Their first admission, they have hope. They speak in the future tense, believing that this is temporary and they will be made well. However, as time goes on and they have more admissions to the hospital, I see the hope slowly fading away. They become more like the man who came to tell Jairus that his daughter had died. All hope is lost. We forget that Jesus has the last word. I see miracles all the time. I see Jesus reaching out and touching individuals and saying, "Arise, your faith has made you well." The season of Pentecost, which is where we are right now in the church calendar, is the time where we remember that Jesus went to heaven, but sent the Holy Spirit to be our comforter, our helper. The Holy Spirit can use each and every one of us to be that touch that people need. Isaiah 40 says, "Comfort. Comfort my people." My directive every day when I hit the floors of the hospital is to go comfort God's people. But it can be the guiding words for each of us when we go to the grocery store, when we visit a neighbor, or as we are present with friends and family. So my friends today, have hope and believe. Amen.